Friday Night Racing
on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.
And you're very welcome along to Friday Night Racing on Off the Ball. Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie and to follow the new Twitter account as well. You can go to @HRIRacing. Hashtag every racing moment. I'm John Duggan, joined in studio by racing guru Johnny Ward. Johnny, are you winning?
I'm winning to be here, John. Yeah, just being here is winning enough, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Being alive is winning enough. And also, our special guest this week, a man who was crossing the winning post of the Curragh last Sunday afternoon in front as Royal Illusion won the Irish Cesarevich for trainer Willie Mullins. Welcome to the programme, Joey Sheridan.
Thanks very much.
Is he our youngest guest so far?
Our best guest.
Our best guest. give him time. I think you're probably half my age, yeah?
17, yeah.
Not even half my age. There we are.
How are you getting on? He's still on cloud nine.
Ah, sure, yeah. Absolutely over the moon, to be honest. Still can't believe it.
Let's roll that tape from last weekend. Royal Illusion in the Cesarevich.
Racing into the last half furlong, and this is a big moment for Joey Sheridan. It's Cesarevich for Willie Mullins. It's a rout. Second is Dalton Highway, then Rock de Bon.
Talk us about the day, Joey. You got the ride, I think, on Friday. Was it Friday morning?
Friday morning, yeah. Declaration time. 10:30 they came out. I didn't even actually see him, to be honest. It was Joe Doyle who said it to me. He says, Jays, you're down for one of Willie's Sunday. I just couldn't believe it. I went straight onto my phone and had a look at it. Even to have my name down beside one of Mr. Mullins' horses, it was, you know, that was unbelievable as it was. Like, you know, but for him to go and do what he done, was great.
Talk to us about the day.
I suppose I went there and, look, like I said, even to be down for one of Mr. Mullins' horses, it was class, and to have a ride in the Cesarevich, but to go and do what she done was unbelievable. No.
So will he give you any instructions?
Yeah, I suppose he said be up in the first 6 or 8, and that didn't really go to plan, though.
That was a great start for William. Yeah. First couple of furlongs, you ignored him, yeah. Or she did anyway.
Just kind of, they lined up around the outside, and they all just kind of came in, like, I shuffled back a small bit.
There were no stalls?
No, no stalls, tape start. So, no, look, it was a bit further back than I wanted to be, but in hindsight, it was probably good because they were fairly clipping along now on the soft ground, like, you know. So, just let her creep into the race, and she just kept extending, thank God.
When did you feel like, I'm going to win this race?
I suppose I had a good long look up at the big screen about 150 yards out. Couldn't believe how far clear it was. So I got to really enjoy the last bit of it, thank God.
Do you know how far clear you are from the sound of the horse behind you, or are you in your own zone?
Yeah, you have a fair idea now. Kind of, you can sometimes might even be able to see the shadow, or you could hear, you know, usually 9 times out of 10 anyone coming behind you, they're roaring or they're whistling or something, like, you know. So you have a fair idea, and I couldn't hear or see anything, and when I took a look up at the screen, I couldn't believe how far clear I was, like, you know.
What's your euphoria?
Sorry?
What's your euphoria, Joey? Thrilled?
Oh, yeah, well, elated.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, like, Usheen Murphy went to the UK 6 years ago as an 18-year-old. Tomorrow he's going to be crowned champion jockey at Ascot. Only Pat Eddery, Kieran Fallon, Richard Hughes and Jamie Spencer have been Irish champion jockeys. So before we kind of get into, you know, how you've made your journey to where you are winning brilliant races like the Cesarevich last Sunday, Joey, just talk about Usheen Murphy there for a second, Johnny. This is a big achievement that I don't think has got the attention in Irish sporting press that it deserves.
It probably hasn't. You know, he's a nephew of Jim Cullity, and so he's sort of bred to be a jockey. And I suppose when he started off, his relationship with Jim was very obvious because they look quite alike, actually. But he's what's impressed me about Usheen Murphy is the way he carries himself. He's fantastic in interviews. He's very sort of laid back, but he speaks very eloquently in terms of races and race planning. And you know, when you list the Irish jockeys there that have won the championship, I'm actually surprised how few, because we have this notion of Irish jockeys being the best in the world, but to win a jockey's championship over there on the flat is rarer than you think. And he's probably not like, he's not a flamboyant jockey, maybe like some of the jockeys you mentioned, but he just gets the job done. And the jockey's race over there is kind of, it's a bit different in that Joey would probably relate to this in terms of the English jockeys, that you really want to, you need to win it, because the journeys involved, especially in days where you might have to go to two meetings, are pretty insane. But he's a spectacular jockey, and on the big day as well, very chilled out, and it's an amazing achievement. I think it deserves more coverage over here. I haven't heard even much about it, being honest with you, and he's a fantastic ambassador for Irish sport, albeit plying his trade in Britain.
Have you been in the weigh room with him yesterday?
Yeah, he's been over in Ireland a good few times during the season. I suppose two or three times, but I'd say now it's hard over there now, because you're doing two meetings a day, you know, nearly every day. There's so much more racing there, and there's a lot more mileage, you're on the road a lot more than here. So I say, you know, it is a lot harder, you know.
You were speaking in an interview, a really good interview you did with Donald McRae, who's a brilliant kind of feature writer for The Guardian in the last couple of days, about how he idolised Frankie Dettori growing up, and now he's in the weigh room with Frankie and he's going to win the title, and Frankie's also still riding. Mm. Who were your heroes, Joey, when you were kind of in your formative years, which you still are?
I suppose because I started in Ballydoyle so young, I was only 12, 13. I suppose I basically grew up for 3.5 years riding out with the likes of Shamey Heffernan, watching obviously Ryan Moore ride nearly all the horses, but riding out with Shamey Heffernan, obviously Dunnock, Wayne Lorden, Parry Beggy, Emma McNamara, Michael Hussey. So I suppose all along from an early time I was kind of riding out with them, and I suppose getting to know them really, because I was riding out with them, I suppose Shamey and all the lads in there were kind of who we used to look up to from that point, and I still do. Shamey is still very good for advice to me.
Nearly like getting involved in a five-side game with kind of five professionals as a kid, because they can only make you improve. Like, that's serious standard.
It sounds like Lionel Messi at Barcelona, yeah, kind of stuff, when you're going through a youth academy. And Aidan O'Brien is such a gentleman, turned 50 this week, and I'm sure he's been... I remember I went down there, Joey, about 10 years ago, and they were doing, I think I said this to Johnny during the week, they were doing a circle of about 100 horses in the yard, and he knew who every single horse was and every single work rider. And Joseph, I think, was about 16 at the time, was riding down the gallops. And you're in safe hands. You're in effectively the Barcelona or Real Madrid when you're going to Ballydoyle, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Aidan and everyone there was very good to me. It was a grounding for me, really, to be honest, because from a very early age, I was around the best of the best. Every day I was riding out, I learnt loads there, from riding work to everything, even just general management in the stable yard. You're around the best of the best from 12, 13. It was a grounding for me,
Is it fun or is it very serious?
I thought it was unreal there, I was so young, and I'm in Ballydoyle, it doesn't get much better than that, to be honest. Especially from such an early age,
What's Aidan like as a boss?
He's very good. He's very good to me now. Like I said, he's the best of the best, and to be there from such an early age was unreal.
Mm. What about your schooling? How do you kind of manage your schooling and your kind of studies around being a jockey? Is it difficult?
I suppose when I was in Ballydoyle, I was going in on every weekend and any school holidays. So I suppose it was easy enough that day or that way, but Aidan was always very keen that, make sure and do that first anyway,
The education.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the best horse you rode?
I think all last summer I got the chance. I was riding out Magical every day for the summer. I think it was 2 months of the summer.
Happy days.
It was unreal.
That was Magical.
Yeah.
Jack Kennedy also has kind of been in this situation where he was, I think, in the pony circuit as well, and he got a very early start with Gordon Elliott, and you're at a similar age, and you're getting now into the groove and regarding professional riding, £10 claimer, now £7. Have you spoken to Jack at all, or have you discussed it with other peers your same age about kind of the do's and don'ts of what you need to do and what you need to not do?
Yeah, I suppose, sure. Look, all of us, that's kind of nearly all your apprentices in there around the same age, myself, Gavin Ryan, Andrew Slattery, Ben Cohen, Oshie Nor, I know he's lost his claim, but they're all in around the same age of us, so we're all good friends, and we all get on well. So
I think Jack is a good example as well, because Jack had his first ride when he was I'd say he just turned 16 on a horse, Tagliatelle, in I think it was the Tipperary Cup, and he was 6-4 favourite, which is an incredible start. And people, I'm fairly young to this game, but year after year, people jump to the conclusion that, oh, this lad's the next big thing, this lad's the next big thing. And Jack Kennedy's had a great career, but this year has been an absolute disaster for him. Like, he's another big injury this week, and it's just, Jack is now, I'm not saying he has to rebuild his career, but he's been so unlucky with injuries that it just shows you that even as talented as you are, things can go wrong, and it's how you deal with that and always stay grounded and never stop working hard, I think, as well, because if you start thinking it's easy and celebrating too much, I think then you're in trouble.
What about your weight? How difficult is that to manage for you, Joey?
At the moment, it's easy enough. I'm actually banned at the moment today, tomorrow and Sunday.
Why are you banned?
For weighing in overweight, but that's probably my own fault.
Probably a featherweight.
I was just doing a weight that was probably just below my limit now.
What is your limit?
A3. Okay. A3 is my limit at the moment. But, you know, I do try to mind. I just need to get on top of it, you know, and just trying to keep it at that for as long as I can, you know.
What's the diet like?
It's good. It's good, all right. It's good at the moment, anyway.
What's a daily now diet in the life of Joey Sheridan?
Suppose in your band it's a bit different, but yeah, look, I try to mind as best as I can.
Bit of porridge in the morning.
I suppose, yeah. Yeah.
Are you allowed any, like, would you have chocolate? Like, you hear all these kind of stories about sugar highs, and like, you remember Tony McCoy having like a box of Jaffa cakes and a cup of tea, and that's all he'd eat for like 24 hours or something. Are there things like that you'd sometimes indulge in, or like, do you have to kind of go to saunas or that kind of thing or anything like that? Or?
I suppose, yeah. Well, I suppose because I'm racing, I've been racing so much now over the last 2-3 months. You know, I've been doing lightweights kind of all along, so I've always had to kind of try and keep on top of it, like, you know.
Yeah, it's sometimes you see a jockey coming into races and you're like, geez, he's a fairly sour old character, isn't he? And then you might kind of counter that by saying, well, he hasn't actually eaten since yesterday morning.
Or he might be dehydrated as well.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's,
the lengths that they go to, you know. A lot of jockeys would have had a reputation for being a little bit surly at the races, but a lot of them had a very good reason. You know, it's a tough life if you're struggling to make weight. It's like, Dunica must be extraordinary in that regard. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah, I don't know how himself, Billy Lee, I suppose Gary Carroll's, God knows how much they have to lose every day, like, you know, and they're still going out and being as strong as ever and riding as well as ever, like, you know, it's very tough for them now.
Did you get any indication, Dunica's obviously, he's in a great place for the title now again, but did you get any indication of his ability to train down the line, which is obviously his next career?
Yeah, I think he's doing a bit, but look, it's in his family to be a good trainer, so I don't see why he won't when he does go training, you know.
Has he the temperament for it, like his brother? Because they're slightly different, I suppose.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
So you're with Dennis Hogan now?
Yeah.
And how's that going?
Great, loving it. Dennis is very easy to work for. You know, he's done nothing but guide me in the right direction ever since I've set foot in the yard, so it's going great now.
And you go away races with him, make a challenge. That horse has been turned inside out.
Yeah, exactly. He's running the Group 1 tomorrow.
Has he got a chance?
Look, hopefully. He's, the ground will suit him. So hopefully he should run a big race.
It's a great story, that horse, because he didn't... What did he cost? Like, he was...
6.5, I think.
Yeah.
6,500.
He's now gone on to... Like, the prize money he's won, and I think he's, of all Dennis has achieved, like, Dennis would have to deal with a lot of fairly run-of-the-mill horses, like most trainers, but this horse gone from when he won in Galway 73, and now he's 111 running in a Group 1, and this is literally like 3 months later or whatever. And you even managed to get him beaten at the Curragh as well yourself.
Yeah, he, over six, I think, yeah. Buffer's own bet him. I got petting him another time as well.
You also won on him, though.
Yeah, but it just goes to show his improvement. You know, he's improved massively. I actually rode him his first day in Limerick. I think he refused twice in the stalls before that. I think Keelan Leonard and Alan Glynn rode him, and I got the chance in Limerick, and we got him into the stalls, but he came out the other end, bronking. And the next day then in Killarney, he came out and he finished second to a horse of Dermot Wells. And ever since then, the penny really dropped with him. Ever since we got him going.
It's amazing, like, that, you know, because he'd had, we'll say, 8 or 10 starts and looked to be kind of half plateauing, and like how it's hard to explain how, like, he's particularly his form Selassie, you know, good field run, you know, downforce was the joint favourite with him, yeah, and downforce had his ground and he bolted up, like, yeah
and kept quickening on the soft ground as well, like, you know, I think that the penny's really dropping him, and it's a good training performance by Dennis as well, because a lot of people would have given up on him.
Absolutely, yeah. It'd be some sickener if he were sold on and did that for somebody else, because, like, that just to have a runner in that race, the Group 1, is unbelievable. Like,
exactly. You know, it shows his upper curve as a trainer. As
yeah.
Well, Friday Night Racing is brought to you in association with Horse Racing Ireland. Joey Sheridan, you know, your dreams, your ambitions, like, what are the big races you'd love to win? What's the kind of the medium-term goal now here?
Look, if you ask anyone my age, you all have dreams of winning, you know, any classics, you know, Group 1s and everything, but... Look, if I could just, long term, if I could just be doing as well as the good lads are, you know, like say Colin and, you know, even Billy Lee or any of them, if I could be doing as well as them, I'd be delighted.
Walter Swinburne won the Derby when he was 19 years of age in 1981. Age is just like Brian Giggs, it's just a number. Do you feel like when you're out there that you feel like you're in the zone? Do you have any fear? You know, when we all talk about broadcasting, when the light goes on, it's just about, you know, just giving it your best and its performance. Do you feel comfortable out there? Like, obviously you showed it last weekend at Royal Illusion.
Look, you just have to try and do the best you can. You just kind of try and have to show that you know you can do it. Like, you know, supposing at my age you nearly have to prove it. You know, being a 7-pound claimer with basically little or no experience, you know, sometimes it's hard to do that. But you just have to try and make yourself stand out as much as you can, because, you know, in Ireland it's so competitive and there's so many good lads there, and, you know, if you can try and make yourself stand out and prove that you can do it, you know, hopefully it might keep going for you, but it is very competitive in Ireland, like, you know.
The pony racing circuit as well, like, how much of an advantage is that to a jockey coming up?
I think it's a big, big advantage. You basically learn how to race, right, like, you know. It was great for me. I rode for a lot of good people that taught me a lot, you know. So it's great, and, you know, sure, nearly half the lads have come through now or have gone through pony racing, you know.
I suppose the challenge for you now is what to do with your 7-pound claim, because, as you were saying to you there, it'd be no harm if he could claim 5. But at the same time, your 7-pound claim makes you an asset, and trainers love good 7-pound claimers. Like, when you have a good 10-pound claimer, he doesn't last very long, and he's very inexperienced. But the very good 7-pound claimers are always the hot property, like, so. How do you manage that now over the winter?
I think Dennis and my agent Rory Tierney are very keen for me to just kind of take a pull and try and mind the best I can. You know, obviously I'd love to be going up to Dundalk every Friday with a few rides, but, you know, Dennis is a lot more experienced than I is, and you know, I'll take any advice he gives me, and he is right about it. Like, you know, if I could try and mind as best as I could, I think I have 10 or 12 winners left in it. So
yeah.
If I could mind that the best I could, it'd be great for
and
next
you're young,
season.
Like, you know, there's no rush.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
And you're from the Tipperary neck of the woods?
Yeah, Holyford and Tipperary, yeah.
Were you watching the hurling final?
I was, yeah.
Good
I
man.
Was. I was.
Yeah, did you hurl a bit when you were younger?
I did, yeah. I did. I got a fall out hunting when I was about 10 or 11, I'd say, and broke my leg, and I suppose kind of it was either from then on I was either at horses or hurling, like, you know. So.
Yeah, I had a fallout hunting, so I decided I'd go on horses for the rest of my life and forget about hurling. That's a strange old story now. It's like that should end, and then I said, screw this, I'm going hurling, like, you know. But David Watchman must have been a good tutelage as well for you.
Yeah, he basically learnt me how to ride, to be honest. To be there, I was even younger than I was when I was in Melly. I think it was 11 or 12. And then I was there for the full summer, and Mr. Watchman retired then at the end of that summer, and then he sent me to Ballydial.
You may have seen the clip we did earlier in the season with the three jockeys at Fairy House, which were three of the lads you mentioned. It was Gavin Ryan and Andrew Slattery and Ben Cohen. And yeah. They were all doing their leaving anyway the following week, and Ben Cohen wasn't even sure what day the leaving started, but you're all Tipperary lads.
Yeah.
So like they're four of the, by any stretch, four of the main apprentices at the moment, they're all from Tipperary. And that's quite incredible, like.
Yeah, only down the road from each other as well, to be honest.
Ben and Andrew are actually first cousins, are they?
Yeah, first cousins. Yeah,
and then Gavin Ryan, who is like a very good ride again for Noel Mead tomorrow. Like Tipperary should be very proud of what it's producing there.
Ian Russell. Yeah, he's from Cork.
He's all, yeah. But obviously down the year, many jockeys. But that's a good generation coming through.
Rachel Blackmore is to prayer, isn't she?
She is, yeah. Killing all, I think. So, and you get on well as well, I suppose, despite all the, you know, you're rivals, but you're also buddies and probably drive the race together and that at times as well.
Yeah, sure. We're all the same age. You know, there is a lot of rivalry there, especially, I suppose, between Oisín Éireann and Andy Slattery at the moment. They're fighting out for the apprentice title, but, you know, look, we went to the Wareham and everything's forgotten about.
Is there? Do you look at them and kind of analyse what they're doing in terms of like the different styles? Because it's not like, do you know, if Henry Shefflin will try to learn from somebody else, or we'll say TJ Reid hones his. TJ Reid has definitely influenced how some people will hurl now because of the style. So do you look at them and say, are they doing anything different to me, or are you, like, do you discuss like your own sort of styles? Because you do have different styles.
Yeah, I suppose we're all different riding wise, but I suppose just trying to do better than him would be one of the main things. But yeah, look, there's a lot. You know, it's very competitive in Ireland between the professional lads, but you know, in the apprentice ranks as well, it's very competitive, and that's what I mean. You try and I suppose half prove it, and you know, I think even though I'm the same age as the likes Gavin and all them. I started a year later.
They've a lot more experience.
Yeah, like they've nearly a full season and a half on me. I only got my license started this season, so I suppose I have that bit more to prove as well, kind of.
What's like, your biggest positive and your biggest negative in terms of as a jockey right now?
I suppose positive. Just try and sit and wait for as long as I can. I was always told. By everyone, just try and sit and wait for as long as you can. And when you think about kicking, sit for another 10 strides.
What's the thing you need to improve on then?
I suppose strength-wise, if I could try and get better that way. You know, you always have to try and improve yourself in every way. You know, so there's plenty of things.
Well, Joey, congratulations on Royal Illusion last week. We wish you the best of luck in the winter over the coming months and years in your journey as a flat jockey, and thanks for coming into the Off the Ball studio with myself and Johnny this week on Friday Night Racing.
Thanks very much, Les. Thank you.
This is OTB Sports Radio.
Friday Night Racing.
On Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.
And you're very welcome back to Friday Night Racing. Johnny Ward, let's look ahead to this weekend's action, beginning at Leopardstown. Killavullen Stakes, 3:40 tomorrow. That's the Group 3 feature. The going is soft. 7-furlong race for two-year-olds. A five-runner contest declared. Geometrical, Iberia, Camachita, Katiba and Stelasar.
A very crude kind of way of cutting across you there, just on the stats of Oisín Murphy. He's improved every single year hugely in terms of the numbers of winners he has. So 41 in 2013, then 76, then 91, then 115, then 127, then 198, and now 217 with a 20% strike rate this year. So that's incredible in terms of if that young man there that we had in wants to learn how to better yourself, like, and just apply yourself. It's incredible improvement. The Killavullen itself, not a great renewal, to be honest, John. You know, you look at the winners down the year, it's not necessarily a race that produces stars. Footsteps in the Sand won this in 2004.
It was a Guineas winner.
He only had one more start, I think, which was in the Guineas. Now, when he won in his debut, I always remember this because he was the nominal second string for Ballydoyle, and they had a horse called Olympic in the race, and he was a Danzig horse worth the guts of 4 million. And Footsteps in the Sand was absolutely hammered in the betting and bolted up, and then he won this race. But the winners since, Big Breaks, Good Horse, Blue de Vega and so forth, Coral Beach won it last year, so it's kind of a group three. But I like Katiba, who's by Footsteps in the Sand, for Derma Weld, a filly who landed a bit of a gamble herself on debut. She's out of an Oratorio mare, a nice Aga Khan family. I'm a big fan of Footsteps in the Sand as a stallion, and the ground was heavy on her debut. I just don't think the two horses that have the two colts, Geometrical and Iberia, are anyway unbeatable.
Okay, that's the Killavullen Stakes tomorrow, and it's Katiba that Johnny likes. That's in the colours of Aga Khan. Anything else in Leopardstown that you like, Johnny?
The nap of the weekend is...
this could be, you want to hold her for the bet?
Sure.
We'll hold her for the bet, okay.
So also, I should mention another horse at Durham Wells I quite like for the exact same connections. Ascarana, she runs under Andrew Slattery, who was obviously mentioned there by Joe. He's fighting away to be the apprentice leader this year, but he claims five, and she's gone down £3 since an okay start to her handicapping. I think she's probably quite well handicapped for Dermot Weld. That's Ascarana.
We're talking about like champion apprentices and that. Over in the UK, we're going to have Usheet Murphy crowned tomorrow as the champion UK flat jockey, but the apprentice is going to be Kieran Fallon's son with the name spelled with a C.
I love watching this kid ride for two reasons. One, because he's so bloody good, and two, because it's the recollection of his dad every time he's in a finish. Because I saw a photo, I don't know, it was on Twitter, of him as a kid, kind of crouched on top of the saddle as a jockey. Yeah. And he was like this, he was literally in nappies at this stage. I think temperamentally, I was on Racing TV recently, and one of the guys there said to me, I think temperamentally he's probably a bit more like his mother, because Kieran is obviously a very complex character, the dad. But he doesn't really look like his dad, he looks more like his mother, but he certainly rides like his dad. His strides he's made in, I mean, again, you don't want to be talking a kid up too much like Aaron Connolly or Joey Sheridan or Kieran Fallon, but Kieran Fallon looks absolutely special to me. He just looks in his timing and his strength, and if he's anything like his dad in terms of, Fallon was one of the best jockeys I've ever seen, and he's so exciting to be champion apprentice. I'd love to know what price he was at the start of the year.
2005, I went to Sandown and it was for the Eclipse, and Motivator just won the Derby. Big British horse, like the Bell, Michael Bell, I think, trained.
That's right.
And Oratorio, under Kieran Fallon, Fraid and O'Brien beat him. And I was at the winning post on the other side of the track. And as Fallon and Johnny Murcia came up the straight, came up in the last 100 yards, Fallon was whistling at Oratorio, whistling him home. It was quite good.
That was his style. And Oratorio was, I couldn't think of a horse more suited to Kieran Fallon, because Oratorio wasn't the biggest. He was a bit lazy the way he raced, but he'd huge heart, like huge. And Fallon would stoke, then get him going. And it's beautiful to look back on those horses and those riders by virtue of, if we go into the Killavullen Stakes, Katiba's by footsteps in the sand and out of an oratorio.
I did not even know this. There you go.
It's all these memories. It's lovely to see these horses that whose dads you remember or whose grandparents you remember.
Memories are made of this on Friday Night Racing. It's Champions Day at Ascot tomorrow. The action beginning at 1:35. The going is heavy. High class racing after the rugby, the main event, the Champions Stakes at 4 o'clock. Aidan O'Brien's Magical, fifth in the arc, dropping back in trip to race over a mile and two. Opposition including Adeab, Carne and Deirdre. Johnny, puzzle, can you can solve it?
My concern for Magical is that she's... It reads like something of an afterthought. She ran in the
arc.
In the arc, which was probably her main
rough
aim
race.
For
that
the
a rough race.
Rough race. She ended up being beaten a long way. I tipped her up in that. Maybe... Rough race, as you say, maybe she did too much too soon. Maybe the favourite did too much too soon. But she's so consistent, I'm willing to give her the benefit of the doubt. I couldn't have Deirdre on that ground. That would leave me with Cornet and Adeab, I think, definitely has a fair chance. We'll love the ground, and his form this season is rock solid. But Magical, if she produced her best, she should win. I wouldn't be mad on backing her at the prices, to be honest.
The Queen Elizabeth II Stakes over a mile goes to post at Ascot tomorrow, 3:20. The Revenant, the strong favourite for this, but Aidan O'Donoghue O'Brien team up with Magna Gracia. 16 runners, anything catching your eye, Johnny?
It's a tough race. This is a race that has gone to some pretty good horses back in the day. I remember Gorgeous George winning it. A certain Frankel won it. Rip Van Winkle won it. Ravens Pass, Minding, Roaring Lion last year under Usheen Murphy. I suppose the problem with Magna Gracia is that... you know, I thought he was disappointing at the Curragh, being honest. He's off a break here. The ground should be okay for him. If you're taking it that Aidan O'Brien hasn't produced in good nick, he's a reasonable each way chance.
9:20 tomorrow evening. Now, this is after a long day with the rugby and the Ascot racing. If you're still kind of hanging around, at Far Hills in New Jersey, the American Grand National Hurdle Stakes going to post a prize fund in excess of €200,000. Now, why are we talking about this? Well, last year, Jury Duty won it for Gordon Elliott. He also saddles that horse again this year, bidding for a Peat, and saddles the Storyteller, who won at Cheltenham a while back at the festival. Willie Mullen sending Prava Laguna and Wicklow Brave across the pond. 13 runners. Johnny, have you ever been to an American meeting?
I've been to Belmont, Saratoga, Aqueduct, so all the New York tracks, but they're all flat. And like the flat tracks over there, they're all left-handed bowls, so they're kind of much of a muchness. Even though Saratoga is a beautiful track, Aqueduct is more kind of an urban track that would attract like people who basically have nothing else to do for the day except to go to the races. And it does have an interest, and it's something for people to do, like older people or people who are unemployed, and it has its casino or whatever as well. But I've never been to Jumps track over there. So, I mean, John, the quality of this field, I mean, I'd have to hail some of the Irish trainers, because as you mentioned last year, Jury Duty runner, but the horse that was second, Tornado Watch, represented Connections, who basically bought him for nothing, and I think he got 60 grand for coming second. Now, it's fairly expensive to go over there, but like it's 212,000 sterling according to the Racing Post for the winner. And Wicklow Brave, I mean, he's done everything else, so I guess why not do this as well? You know, in fairness, he's won classic, he's won proper chases, he's won.
Been hurling punch 10?
2.5 shouldn't be a major problem. I know he was touched off in the Coral Cup. The ground is described as firm.
That won't be a problem for him. Paul
won't be a problem. Rashan as well. I was actually talking to his former trainer during the week, and he felt like the mother of a child who'd been taken away and given to somebody else. He just feels lost without Rashan Colin Kidd, but he's reporting that the horse is in great form. I think Ireland will win it. I think it looks like we've about half the fields, or certainly if not Irish, ex-Irish, and even Modem in the race, Brain Power. Like, this reads like a race that could be in Punchestown.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, in Far Hill, so definitely worth watching.
In New Jersey.
New Jersey.
And as has been the case recently, the Tote Irish Injured Jockeys Fund remains at 7,549 after my dreadful tip internal transfer was pulled up in the Munster National last weekend at Limerick. Don't worry, we'll turn things around. This weekend, the Irish action comes to Leopardstown, as we discussed, and Sunday racing will come from Cork and Naas. Also, some high-class action. We've just mentioned the US Grand National and also the Everest from Australia, in addition to Champions Day at Ascot. So, Johnny Ward, what are you going for? Reveal from the birdcage your selection for Leopardstown.
That reminds me of that Simpsons gag where Homer says he's going to rattle some cages in the sanitation committee, and he's leaving the room. He just rattles the cage of the bird in the actual room. Maybe a reference to you. A lot of people will definitely get that reference. I don't know if I'm going to rattle a cage, but this is going to be a big price, Sean. A big, big price. And it's in the finale.
The finale. The grand finale.
Yeah. You're in singing mood today. The horse's name is Shelter. Now, there's an interesting aspect to this race. There are 20 runners. Half of them have a rating, right?
So it's a B train the top then.
Not great each way terms. I'm not sure if the Tope has four places on this, so I stand corrected on that if not. But the 10 runners in this race who have a rating, they're all roughly 72 or 3. So they're all in the 70s. So that's essentially saying, unless one of the lightly raced horses improves, if you run to 80, you'll probably win this race, because none of them really looks capable. So Shelter is trained by Andrew McNamara, that's Junior. She's a filly by Le Harve out of Petetra, so two French names, but the stallion is a very promising young stallion, and it was a good dam. I think it's her first foal. She's bred to get the mile in two. She ran a Tipperary 10 days ago. She took my eye a bit. She was never really travelling, but she stayed on well. The aforementioned James Heffernan gave her one smack at the top of the straight, and she stayed on lovely. Honestly, could be 50-1, and I couldn't put you off. I think well worth a bet. It'll be my bet of the weekend anyway.
I'm like Hulk Hogan here, cupping my ears for Shelter in the finale at Leopardstown.
Shelter tomorrow at Leopardstown, John.
I will do my best, but I'll probably be watching it on the couch.
How will the rugby go? I had a debate with Jamie Heaslip about he's very competent.
I watched this. It was a very good interview, actually.
I watched it.
I enjoyed that. And I'm not just like, you know, blowing your trumpet or telling you're a great fellow, but no, it was good. I enjoyed it.
All of which is true, but the 12-point spread, he's very confident Ireland will cover it.
I've gone Ireland. The Off the Ball office, we have this kind of thing where we put everything on a board and we put this out on social media, and it kind of brings a great camaraderie to the office. So I went for Ireland +3. I just got a feeling. I give Ireland about a 30% chance. I don't think we're going to beat New Zealand, but I do give us a chance, and I think Ireland plus three. There's something in my gut, my gambler's gut. Johnny, you know this more than anybody else around here, what a gambler's gut is.
Oh, God, yeah.
A gambler's gut that New Zealand will not win this World Cup, and they're going to go down either against England, ourselves, or in the final. I think it could be tomorrow. I think we've nothing to lose. You've got a fit squad. I think Ireland plus three. I'm crazy, but look, it is Friday night racing.
A shout out to my friend Brian Kidd, who's getting married tomorrow and has not only given everyone who's going to the wedding directions as how to get to the wedding and local accommodation details, but details of the local pub that'll be showing the game before the church.
Brian, you're a good man and have a fantastic day now tomorrow. Tour customers, by the way, can enjoy free tickets to the Tote 4-3 at Chase Day at Navan. So do remember that's coming up soon. See the tote.com for more details. Johnny, thanks so much. Shelter tomorrow.
Yeah, hopefully so, John. I mean, look at the prices this evening, but I think it should be a very, very big price.
Ireland against New Zealand?
New Zealand comfortably. I think the game could be over after 20 minutes.
England, Australia?
England.
Wales, France?
Wales.
And Japan, South Africa?
I think it'll be fairly close, but South Africa.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Friday Night Racing on Off the Ball, brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. See you next week. Love every racing moment. HRI.ie.
Friday Night Racing
on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit HRI.ie.